Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I am your host, the host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. I've got a market update for you as of August 18th business close. August 18th business close. This is year to date. We believe at Financial Abundance, which is a registered investment advisory firm located in State College, Pennsylvania, Happy Valley, that investing is relatively simple. There's only a few rules: own equities, diversify, rebalance. Understand that there are risk premiums for being invested in the market, and that stock picking, market timing, and track record investing have no basis for prudent investing. Rather, that those would be speculative examples of trying to manage a portfolio. We believe in getting a market return. Returns come from the market, not from managers. We all are in the same market in any given year, so all that any of us can expect to get is a market return minus the cost of investing. So as just in a form of a quick primer, we believe, as do many academics and 50 years of academic empirically proven research, that investing is relatively simple. It has three rules: own equities, diversify, rebalance. Understand there are risk premiums within the marketplace, that small has a greater return than large companies, that value companies have a larger return than growth companies, and that being invested in the market over cash also creates what we call a risk premium. With those few things in mind, we believe that it's important to have a well-diversified portfolio. Well-diversified means in all 45 countries that do business around the world, including the United States, and in all areas. Think of a pie. And in that pie, you have different slices. And in those slices would be asset classes, not sectors. Most of the speculation and bubbles that we've ever had in the investing arena come in the area of sectors. That is, types of companies like healthcare is a sector, or finance, or telecommunications, or transportation, or retail, or finance. Those are sectors. Bubbles happen in sectors. Prudent investing, basically applying the three rules, own equities, diversify, and rebalance, says we want to own all the companies in every country in the world that is worth owning. With that in mind, the whole point of the market update on a regular basis is to give you a snapshot of kind of where the market is year to date, an idea of where we are globally, and just a couple nuggets as it relates to the academic truths, not the myths, the academic truths of investing. By the way, if you really would like to learn about some of the myths, we don't do that in our podcast, but if you'll reach out to FAI Coach, FAI Coach is our website. You can request access to some modules of training that we have in our client-only section. They are password-protected. One of them in particular, is separating myth from truth, the story of investing. And what it does is it really pulls back the curtain on a lot of the transactional techniques that are employed in the financial services industry to encourage people to have a lot of transactions. You know, I've always said a billion shares of trading a day in an industry full of such smart and bright people, something's awry. Something's not right. How in the world can the financial industry support and substantiate a billion shares of trading every single day? It's ridiculous. Obviously, there's money in trading. The idea that just about every article you read, everything, every radio station, everything you see basically is designed to create a fight or flight type of response, a fear or pain. There's something in my portfolio needs to be fixed. No, if you have a global-based portfolio, you just need to understand that the market goes up and down. It has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. You never know which is going to happen until hindsight. Anyone that implies they have any insight into what's going to happen in the market moving forward is either devious or ignorant, one of the two. Because the reality is there's not one shred of empirical science. Empirical means proven theory that will support the idea of actively trying to manage and chase the market. 15% of the money managers beat the market half the time. That means 85% of the money managers do not even get a market return, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm starting to rant a bit, so let me stop with that and go to the market update. Russell 2500 measures small to mid-sized companies in the U.S. year-to-date, ladies and gentlemen, 9.39%. Year-to-date as of mid-August, up a little over 9%. Russell 2000, small to very small companies, U.S., 9%. Russell 1000, this is an index that measures large value companies, not growth companies, but value companies. Value companies, large U.S. is up 10% for the year. Russell 2000, small value. Small is always, historically, let me retract always, historically, has had the highest returning asset class, although it's rare we ever see anybody in small cap. Now, we see people who own funds that say small on them, but then we look internally, and we often discover something called style drift, and that is the managers are chasing whatever area is hot, and if it's not small, you might have large companies or foreign companies or who knows what in there. But purely small is an asset class we don't see very often, and it is historically the highest performing asset class. Small value, 13% year-to-date. S&P is the laggard. That represents 500 of the largest U.S. companies. Those would be the mega and the large companies. And that's 6.7%. So respectively, 6.7 to 13.8 in the U.S. year to date. It's a beautiful thing, and we're glad to see it making up for last year, which was slightly negative, and the year before that was slightly flat as it relates to a well-diversified portfolio when you look at some of the gains in some areas and losses in others as a whole. Let's go international. International, we have the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, Italy, Ireland, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Singapore, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. Those are developed countries. Those would be internationally developed marketplace, and it's up a little over a half a percent, 0.68%. We go to the emerging markets. Emerging markets, or the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, looks at what we would call emerging market countries. These would be not developed countries, but emerging countries. These would be countries like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Colombia, Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Israel, Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Russia, South Africa, Taiwan, Thailand, and Turkey. These would be emerging markets, and year-to-date, 14.5%. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, ding, ding, ding. That's emerging markets for this year. I hope you own it. The reality is most people have gotten out of it. They're getting out of international. They're running like crazy because they watch the news and all the talking heads that are promoting fear about things like BREX and things like that. Ladies and gentlemen, you want good, sound financial information? Get with a registered investment advisor, preferably one that is a coach, a fee-only advisor. Otherwise, there's a market employee involved. Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, Far East. That is a index designed to measure all the markets, excluding U.S. and Canada. And that's the only negative asset class for this market update. It's down about 0.87. So the winner across the board, the sweet piece of pie as of August 18th, is emerging markets at 14.5%. And the sour pickle, so far, would be the Europe, Australia, Far East Index. So ladies and gentlemen, the market is incredible. It's incredible. Volatility, people love volatility until it's down. You know, the reason that you can get returns, you know, you can have a negative 5% year in the market and you can turn around and have a positive 40% year. It's incredible when you look at the actual data, and I have data back to 1926 of all the indexes and everything that's happened in the market. And when you start to look at it, it is incredible how the market rebounds, especially. Most people don't know this, but you know, 1929, the market crashed, October 29, the market went down 82%. It was devastating. We've never had anything close to that. 08 would probably be the closest thing where we had close to a 40% downturn. But very few people realize, do you know the next year in the market, what the rate of return was in excess of 200%? Did you know the following 5 years after the stock market crash in 29, there was an average of 40% per year market gain? You don't hear about those things. You hear the history books that say idiotic things like it took 10 years for our economy to rebound. No, it didn't take 10 years. It was fiscal policy and political policy that took it 10 years. The market had rebounded right away. But again, there is always a difference between theory and practical application. You know what I found My dad used to say something all the time, and of course, when he would say it to me as a child, I didn't want to hear it. But you know, you don't realize your kids are wrong. Well, you don't realize your parents are right till your kids are wrong. And my dad used to say to me all the time, common sense isn't all that common. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to echo that at 52 years old. I have found that common sense isn't all that common because most of the rules of finance are opposing common sense. When the reality is investing is relatively simple. It's a matter of just learning a few right things. You know, you should not be intimidated by the government. You should not be intimidated by the IRS. You should not be intimidated by the financial services industry. If you have sources, especially like us in financial abundance, that's willing to step out, take a fiduciary responsibility, stick a stake in the ground and say, look, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know the few right things. So I'm going to ask you one question. I've never asked this on the podcast before, but let me ask you this. If what you thought the best way to deal with and plan for your financial future turned out not to be, when would you want to know? If what you thought the best way to plan for your financial future turned out not to be, when would you want to know? You know what most people tell me when I ask that in the classroom setting? They'd say, we would want to know right away. Well, if you found out and we taught you right away, would you do something about it? That's totally different. That's where the rubber meets the road. The fact that you are listening to this podcast, I have to compliment you because you are above the fray. You are ordinary, extraordinary in that you're not a lemming just following the sound bites of what's going on, but you're actually trying to take time to invest in your knowledge base and understand what's going on. And I have to applaud you for that because it's a rare thing that I see in this country anymore, people taking such personal responsibility and accountability for their own future, realizing they need to get educated about what's going on. If you want to trust somebody, that's great. I've never been big on that. I'd rather trust people after I understand them to be competent. But to me, competency is always more important. I often say to people that start to work with us, listen, I prefer you don't trust us. I don't even care if you like me. But what I want you to do is understand what we're trying to teach you and saying, is that valid or not? I have found that most people, when you start to endear them with competency and education, the trust follows after that. But the trust model is the biggest problem we have in this country. And all of the advertising in the financial industry is focusing on a trust model. They're shying away from performance. Nobody's talking about performance. They're talking about warm fuzzies and fees. It's a blatant and obvious misdirect for anybody to have any insight in the business of the financial service industry to say they're just trying to make the trading and everything more lucrative. They're giving you the impression that it's cheaper to do trading and try to manage your own account, which is, it just opens up the door for trading and more fear and flight responses. Well, let me get off my soapbox for now. We want you to be educated. We want everyone to walk away from any relationship with us, the podcast or face-to-face, enriched in some way, shape, or form. I hope I've given you a nugget or two. If you'd like to learn more, all you got to do is go to FAICoach.com and learn more. If you ever have any questions, you can reach out to us, 814-867-5745. My name is Paul Nichols, the president of Financial Abundance, registered investment advisory firm. I hope this finds you well. Thank you for listening and have a most productive and profitable day.